one of the things that at Destiny Church that we really strive for is seeing leaders being brought up. And if you don't know that, that's a big part of who we are in leadership. Matter of fact, last weekend when the staff was spending a lot of time together, that was one of the values that kept coming up, was that we are raising up leaders. And today, it's been my privilege to see one of our spiritual sons here at our church growing up and being discipled and growing in his faith and now in leadership and now on staff. I've asked him to come today now and speak to you. This is his first time to ever speak in the main service. And so I know you're going to give him all the support today, and you're going to cheer him on, and you're going to be right there with him, amen, and giving your support today. And I'm very proud of him. I remember, what year did you come to Destiny, TJ? 5 years ago? Six years ago? Anyway, somewhere around there. He was a sophomore in college coming to play basketball at Missouri Southern. He came to church here, and he and I shortly went out afterwards and had a lunch together, and I was talking to him, and just I seen God's hand upon his life, and I was just sharing some things with him and just begin to speak into his life and say, hey, I mean, God's got a plan for you. He didn't bring you to Joplin just to play basketball. God's got a greater plan for your life. And it's been awesome to see that unfold. He has him and married his beautiful wife and Courtney, and of course they've gotten married and now have come on staff after graduating college, and they are leading our young adult gap ministry for over a year now, and it's been doing about a year and a half, and it's been growing and seeing a lot of fruit out of that. They've seen the gathering happen, which was a dream come true in a short time. I tell you what the awesome thing about it is happening is now not only is he leading this, but he's inspiring other young adult leaders throughout the community. Now we have other young adult leaders who are raising up house parties and celebration parties and all kinds of things, because it's like, man, we want to do that too. And so they'll be inspired of what they attended here for the gathering. They're going back doing the same thing in their church. And so he's not just leading here, but he's also having an influence in our community. And so today, I am thrilled today to announce that I've asked Pastor TJ to come and minister. You guys put your hands together. Linda Humphrey, appreciate him. Pastor TJ, come this morning. Blessed is the first time at Destiny.
Amen, amen. Is anybody excited to be in the house of God this morning? Now, y'all know me better than that here at Destiny Church. That was weak. Let's try that again. Anybody excited to be in the house of God this morning? Hallelujah. I am so excited and honored to be here this morning. This is such a privilege, such a vision that God has put on my heart and my life. Pastor Gene kind of shared it a little bit. I came here a total 7 years ago, but I started attending Destiny about 5 years ago, and I'll never forget, I sat back there in that right back row, in the very back row in that right section, and I came here, I think it was about my second or third time I came here to worship, and I was like, man, this church is awesome. And God said, yeah, and you're going to preach here one day. I was like, who, me? I was like, no. Because what he said earlier, I came here to play basketball. I came here on a college scholarship to play at Missouri Southern, and I was focused on playing basketball in college, and then I was focused on making them dollars after. Y'all hear me? And then I found out I really wasn't that good. I wasn't that good at all. And now, if you would have asked me that let's just be honest, probably a year ago, I still probably would have said I was good enough to make it. But I've come to the realization that, you know, I'm not supposed to play in the NBA, whatever. But I'm so thankful to have this opportunity, and I am so I'm huge on honor and honoring people. Before you clap your hands or anything like that, I want to honor Pastor Gene and Pastor Melody Beebe. You guys have been instrumental in my life personally, spiritually. You have raised me up as a leader. Saw some things in me that I didn't even see. Like I said, you know, I was focused on basketball, and God gave you the vision to see something else, and you guys have imparted into my life personally, parted into me and my wife's marriage, and several others here. You know, you guys have been the covering. And what I love about you guys is the things behind the scenes that people don't see. The times that you pray, the times that you fast, all the situations that you guys have to handle and take care of. You know, as a body of Christ, we don't get to see that. We get to see them come up here and, you know, lights and everything. And it seems like Pastor Gene's got it all together. But really, sometimes you don't know 5 minutes before he's putting out some type of fire in the church. Sometimes a literal fire. We had a fire back there in the sound room. But they have been awesome and instrumental in my life. And I would wholeheartedly believe in honor. So if you don't mind doing me a favor and standing up on your feet, and let's honor the man and woman of God, Pastor Gene and Pastor Melody. Oh, come on. We can do better than that. These are people that lead us, guide us, and protect us. Thank you guys so much for everything that you do. A couple more people I got to honor real quick. I would be remiss if I did not honor my boo thing, my girl, my right hand chick, whatever else y'all want to call it. This girl is my ace coon boom. Why are you looking confused? I'm talking about you, girl. She over here like, who's he talking about? I'm talking about you. I'm so thankful for you, babe. I tell you this personally, for everything that you have done for me. I would not, and I know people say this all the time, but I definitely know that I would not be standing up here if God did not send me you. So will y'all give it up for my wife, Pastor Courtney Williams. Thank you so much, babe. I love you. And real quick, just a couple more things. I wouldn't be standing up here today if it weren't for her, but I would not be even on this earth if it was not for this lady sitting here on this front row. Y'all give it up for my mom, who came all the way down from Tulsa to be here today. She's here celebrating. Come on, y'all, celebrate. Thank you so much. My sister came with her all the way from Tulsa. I'm so thankful to have both of y'all here today. I see my boss from Freeman, Wes Brayman, back there in the back. I'm so excited to have you here. Man, it's just a party in here, man. And I'm thankful to have everybody here. Y'all just give yourselves a hand in this place. All right, we're going to jump into the word. I want to talk to you today about a topic that says, we have power. Look at your neighbor and say, we have power. Now, if some of y'all gave me $1 million after you just said that, I wouldn't have believed you. Because this is what you said. We have power. Or some of y'all, I watched y'all. Y'all just gave the head turn. Y'all didn't even say anything. Y'all just said, and that was it. That was it. That's all y'all said. Come on, say it like you mean. Look at your neighbor and say, we have power. I'm telling y'all, the power of God is in this place. The presence of God is in this place this morning. And I'm going to try to stay calm. But y'all know how I do. I am very excitable. I'm very passionate. And I'm just ready to go forth. So I'm going to be a lot in your face and excited. Is that okay this morning? All right. So my gap people know that I love to start all my sermons, my messages off with definitions about what I'm talking about. The reason why I do that is because it further explains what we're talking about. There's some words that we know, but it's good to really go back and actually see what we're talking about and then see how we're actually going to tie this in to the message. So I've got the definition here of power. What is power? Power is the capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. It is also known as authority. Everybody say authority. I want to talk to you about this topic today. We have power because I feel that this is something that we've lost in the church. You know, there's so many different things going on in the world, in our country, in our city, in our law and legislation that, you know, 100 years ago, the church would not have stood for that. They would have stood up and said, no. We're going to follow the word of God. But the church, we have lost our power. We forgot to rise up and stand up. And so I want you to realize today, the whole thing today, I want you to realize is that the word of God tells us that we have power and that we should walk in it. Everybody say walk in it. So I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures here. Some you may know, some you may not, that'll actually show that we were actually given power by God. The first scripture I want to share with you, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I know most of you all know this verse, can quote it out of your sleep. It says, for God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I want you to recognize and know today that God did not just not give you the spirit of fear. There's a whole list of things that I can throw at you. God did not give us the spirit of fear. He didn't give us the spirit of stress. He didn't give us the spirit of worry, doubt, depression, anxiety, confusion, the spirit of comparison that Pastor Gene talked about a few weeks ago. All those things, when they come upon us, that is not coming from God, because he has given us what? Power. Acts 1:8. You remember Jesus saying this when he went up into glory and he told his disciples, for you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I'm here to tell you today that if you are alive and a human being, you have the Spirit of God in you. Whether you actually flow in it, whether you actually move in it or accept it or receive it, you have it. And because you have that Spirit in you, what do you have? You've got power. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got the power. Thank you, Pastor Gene. I knew you'd do it. You would have done it if you was up here preaching. So another scripture I want to share with you. This one may not be known as much as the other two, but it's found in 1 Corinthians 4:20. And this is Paul talking to the church of Corinth and also talking to us. And it says here, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Somebody say power. So I read that the first time, and some of you may be thinking the same thing. Like, what does he mean there? What is Paul talking about? And I even read that. I said, what is he talking about? So I had to study. I had to read the whole chapter. I had to ask God, what are you saying here? What are you saying with this scripture right here? And I'm telling you, man, God gave me a revelation that knocked my socks off, knocked me out of my seats. If you're taking notes, you better get ready, because this is about to be crazy. Y'all ready? What Paul is saying here is talk is cheap. Yep. Somebody say talk is cheap. Because the reason why he's saying that is because there are so many times, y'all, the New Living Translation, let me give you this real quick. The New Living Translation version says it like this. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, but it is living by God's power. There are so many times, and I'm just telling y'all now, I'm probably going to make some of y'all mad before the day is over, but I love you, and I know you love me too, but it's okay. Anyway, there's so many times that we talk and talk and talk and talk about what God has done for us and what he's done in our lives and what he's done for this person or that person or whatever, and then when somebody comes to you trying to receive that, you don't show it. We don't really show it. For example, again, I'm going to make you mad. Pastor Gene gets up here on Sunday, and he slays us with a word. And he gives us, how many of y'all enjoyed the Breaking Bad series, by the way, which was awesome, unbelievable, life-changing? Man, that was great. But anyway, he gets up here, and he gives us an awesome word that motivates us to change or improve or focus on a certain area of our lives, like the power of our words or breaking bad cycles or Jesus. Jesus is the cycle breaker, all these different things. And we leave out of here so motivated, so excited. I mean, some of y'all, let's just be honest, before you even get out the doors of the church, you got your phone out posting on Facebook. Woo! Pastor Gene, man, he gave us a great word today. I'm so excited. He said, the power of your words, I'm going to watch what I say. Man, can't nobody stop me. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And you all excited Sunday, and you see, y'all know I am not lying. For those Facebookers, y'all see it all Sunday night on your news feed. People talking about church and what, I'm not just talking about just Destiny Church. I'm talking about all believers. They put on there how motivated, how inspired they were and everything. And that's great. Don't get me wrong. But then comes Thursday and real life happens. Your children start acting crazy. Your spouse drives you crazy. I know a lot of y'all ain't laughing about that because they're sitting right next to you. Your boss is in your ear and you're like, man, I'm working hard. I'm working hard. And you feel like he's just coming at you or she's coming at you, whoever it may be. And so now all these things are weighing down on you. Now real life happens. And then guess what we see Thursday on our social media sites? Life is so horrible. Life is terrible. Oh, my goodness. What about me? I want to do this. I want to say this. Or nobody loves me. Or nobody wants me. Nobody wants to do anything for me. Me, 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 me. All these woe is me things. And what has happened is the Sunday the non-believers that are watching your feed and watching what you say and watch how you act, they got you on Sunday and they're like, man, that's some good stuff. And now they're intrigued by the presence of God. But then on Thursday, you come out and you say that and you put that. They're like, I don't need God. What do I need God for? Because you're acting the same way that I'm acting. There's no difference. There's no power in your life. So what makes me want to be closer to this God that you talk about? I'm just saying, man, this is where we're at. Today, we get so focused on ourselves and worry about that. And then because of that, we become what I like to call powerless Christians. Powerless. Let me give you this quote here. It says, the reason why something does not have power is because it is not truly connected to its source. Woo! I'm telling you. Let me give you an example. How many of y'all have a laptop, iPad, cell phone, something like that? Yep, we got those electronics. I got a laptop at home that I use for all my different studies, all my notes, all my PowerPoints and everything and stuff like that. And I'm on it constantly. I'm on it a lot. Lord have mercy. Y'all pray for my wife because she's probably going to throw my computer out the window because I'm on that thing so much. But I'm on it a lot, so I'm using it. So usually when I sit down and I'm on it, I sit at a place where I can plug it into its power source. But then there's some times where I unplug from the source and I take it back to my office at the house, or I take it back to the room, or some reason. Sometimes I just unplug it for no reason at all. And so then when I do that, I go back to working like normal, working. And then I look down at the screen. I'm like, oh, snap. I'm out of power. I'm like, oh my goodness, what? I got to run and get it back connected to its power source. Let me tell you what I'm saying today. This is the same thing with us. We come into church on Sunday and we are so plugged in to the worship. We got our hands lifted, be exalted. We're so focused into the message of what Pastor Gene is saying, and we're so in and we're so there. And then life happens throughout the week, and finally by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're like, oh Lord, oh my gosh, I just need a word. I need something. I need the presence of God. If I can just make it to church. And so then you come to church the next Sunday and you look like this picture here. No power. Your power has been depleted. And why has it been depleted? Because you've been unplugged. Listen, I'm here to tell you today, I'm going to make some of y'all mad, but Pastor Gene's job is not to come to your house every single day and preach to you and tell you something for what's going on in your life. That's not what he's here for. He's here to instruct us and to give us the tools and equip us to take it out in our daily lives. But we come into church to get our quick fix, and then we unplug from the source. And then when we come back into church, I say, come on, y'all, put y'all hands together on God's great dance floor. And y'all like this. I wish he would sit down. He's sitting up here yelling and screaming at me. What is his problem? But the reason why you're acting like that is because you got no power. You've been disconnected the entire week from the power source of God. So what do you expect when you come into the presence of God? You're not going to have any energy. You're not going to have that stamina to go forth and go in his presence because you've been unplugged. But the thing about that is, even with my laptop and with us, with my laptop, I've always, always, always have the option to keep it plugged into its source. Same thing with us, y'all. We always have the option to stay connected to our source. Do y'all hear me? What that is? What, so how do I do that, TJ? You pray. You worship. You just spend time in God's presence by yourself. You don't need nobody else. You don't need Pastor Melody up here singing Be Exalted to get you into the presence of God. I know some of y'all mad at me, but it's okay. We've got to stay plugged in. Everybody say, stay plugged in. So how do we get this power that you're talking about? How do we get this power? I'm going to give you four things today of how we have power and where we get our power. The first thing is we have power in our prayer. we have power in our prayer. How many of y'all believe in the power of prayer? Amen. Okay, I said this in the first service. I knew I was going to get a response like that. That was probably about 50%. They said, yeah, I believe in the power of prayer. Most of y'all didn't raise your hand. Y'all didn't say nothing. But it's because that's what's going on in the church today, is that there's half of us that believe in the power of prayer and half of us don't. And so when we come together to pray and to worship God, now we've got this thing that's not meshing and going together because we don't believe that we have power. But I'm here to tell you that our prayer is so important. Prayer is important, y'all. If this is anything that y'all get from me today, prayer is important. Why is it so important? Because it's our direct communication link to God. Direct communication. We don't have to go through anybody else. We don't have to go through operator. We can talk directly to him. And this thing right here, you've heard Pastor Gene say this before, and I'm stealing it from him. 0% of relationships last without communication. Zero. I didn't say 1%. I didn't say 2%. I said zero last. Because what's happening is we're talking and talking and talking and talking, and we're like not listening to what God is trying to say. And when we pray, y'all, we're not just praying into thin air. We're not just praying to a God that's not there. We're not praying to somebody who's not listening. Although I know that may feel weird. I know that may make you uncomfortable, but I'm here to tell you that God hears your prayers. And when we pray, we are unlocking things in the spiritual realm. Let me show you. Matthew 18:18, Jesus said, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Man, y'all, that's some power right there. He's saying that whatever you pray about here on this earth will be translated to what happens in heaven. Do y'all get that? Get that type of power that we have. The second scripture right here that Jesus says, John 14:13-14, and I will do whatever. Everybody say whatever. Whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything. Somebody say anything. Anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, let me give Jesus a disclaimer real quick, because I know where some of y'all's brains are going. Y'all said, you say anything, do you? And so now you're going to go home. You're going to go to your backyard. Oh, Lord, I heard Pastor TJ say today that I ask anything and you'll give it. So, Lord, bring on that $1 million. Rain it down. Here we go. No, sweetheart. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. But what he's saying is, come and bring your cares. Come and bring your burdens. Come and bring your stresses, your fears, your worry, your anxiety, and I will take care of it. I love this because this is a personal invitation from Jesus. Personal. Let me show you. Let me give you an example. I go down to Pastor Gene and I say, Pastor Gene, man, I know this is not really your area, but they just gave me this light bill and it's $672. All I use is one lamp. Why is it $672? And Pastor Gene goes, I'll personally take care of that. I'll go to the person that is supposed to be taken care of. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, come to me with that depression. Come to me with those suicidal thoughts. Come to me with those lustful thoughts. Come to me with anything that you have on your heart. And I will see to it that I will personally go to my Father on your behalf, because he is going to get the glory out of this. Because, y'all, man, we've got a personal invitation to talk to Jesus about whatever we need. But when we pray, y'all, we can't be praying these weak little prayers. And I said this in first service. It may make some of y'all mad again, but it's okay. Sometimes we come and we pray and we're like, oh, Father, God, you're so awesome. You're holy. You're worthy. You're mighty. I love you. But God, if you can help me with this situation, or if you can get me out of this situation, this time, or if you can heal me, or if you can set my eyes straight on the path with you, or if you can do this, or if you can do that. I'm here to tell y'all today that that is an insult to God, because I don't serve an if God. I serve a do it God. I serve a do it God, and God is going to do it. So when we pray, we must pray with authority. Somebody say authority. What I love about authority is authority doesn't ask. Authority doesn't beg. Guess what authority does? Authority commands. Now, I'm not saying that we can go to God and be like, you said I can command you to do this. No, no, no. What I'm saying is, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us from the scripture I said earlier, we can come to him in confidence and boldness and say, God, this depression has held me long enough. So in Jesus' name, I declare that this thing has to lift off of me, because you are going to get the glory. We've got to pray with authority. I want to give you a couple of examples. Maybe just one. We had a girl come into Gap service a couple months ago. Some of y'all may remember Pastor Gene giving me the opportunity to share that, but I'm just going to refresh. We had a girl who was an athlete at Missouri Southern, and she had an issue where she hurt herself lifting weights, and her discs were all unaligned, and it was so much pain that she couldn't walk, and they put her on crutches. It was her senior season. She only had two more things to compete in. And so she thought that all lost and all hope was lost and gone. And we had one of our Gap staff come leave our service in the middle of worship. And she went with authority and told this girl, she said, you don't have an option. You're getting in this car with me, and we're taking you back to church, because you're going to get healed tonight. And so we brought her back in, and we began to worship. We began to praise. And not 5 minutes that she was in there, God instructed me to stop everything, and we had to pray for her right then. And so that's what we did. And all 50, 60 of us in that place, we began to surround her and begin to pray with authority. Y'all, we didn't come to God and say, oh, Lord, gosh, you see her face. She's so sad. Like, she's going to miss out on her senior season. Like, God, come on. I know you're a good God, and if you can do this, this would be so great. No, 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 no. We came to her and we said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we decree and we declare that your sons and daughters shall be healed, shall be set free, shall be delivered. You have called us to walk healed, healthy, and whole, God. And in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, when two or three are gathered together, you shall be in the midst. And since you're here, God, we're asking you to just show up and just do it right now. Don't wait 5 weeks. Don't wait 3 weeks. Don't wait 2 weeks. We said, God, heal her right now. And I'm here to tell you today that she walked out with her. Look, she's standing right there. Stand up, Kylie. She walked out with her crutches. She jumped around. She skipped. She was so excited. Because why did that happen, y'all? We prayed with authority. We commanded that thing to come down. Just a couple weeks ago, I forgot to share this in first service, and I don't see her here, but we had another girl who was in Gap, and she came to church a couple weeks ago with two casts. Or she came to church a couple weeks ago with two casts on her feet from her toes all the way up here. The doctors had diagnosed her with something, and Pastor Gene he's been really flowing in the gift of healing and being able to move in that avenue this last few weeks. And so the Spirit was just high and moving. God said, you go pray. You pray for her right now. And so I went to her and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that she shall be healed. She shall be whole and set free, because you've called us to be healed. You've called us to be whole in Jesus' name. And this shall be a testimony the next week. I'm here to tell y'all that next week she walked into church with no cast on. The doctor said, I don't know what happened, but you miraculously were healed earlier than we thought, because God showed up with authority. Somebody say hallelujah. And I'm not saying all this, y'all, to brag or boast, because I know it's not by me. It is not by my power at all. It's not by Gap's power, but it's by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the power of Jesus Christ. And James 5:16 says, the prayers, this is what we live by, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Did y'all get that? The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You put those things together, and what do you have? You have healings. You've got supernatural strength. You've got energy. You've got power to do more things because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Second thing here, we have power in our worship. I'm not going to stay on this one long. We have power in our worship. The first thing that I want to tell you about worship is not just a slow song. I'm going to shake some of y'all up this morning because y'all think worship is turning on a slow music, so slow song, and that's worship. No, that's not what worship is. Worship is the way that we live, the way that we live our life. If you don't believe me, let me show you. Romans 12, verse 1 says it like this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. For this is truly the way to worship. So I don't know about you, but I didn't read anything about no slow song. I didn't read anything about Pastor Mel having to get up here saying, be exalted. It's saying the way that you live, by living in right standing with God, by following the word of God and following the instructions and the teaching that we're getting from our leader, Pastor Gene, by living and walking that way, that is worship. You don't have to be able to sing. You don't have to be up here on the praise and worship team to worship. You worship God by the way that you live. Third thing, we have power in our praise. We have power in our praise. And y'all know I know this one well. Y'all see me up here every Sunday, jumping around, skipping, sweating bullets, screaming at y'all, tell y'all to clap your hands, stomp your feet, do all these things. And like I said earlier, some of y'all are annoyed with me. And y'all like, will y'all please tell this dude to sit down? Sick of him up here yelling and jumping around and sweating. It don't take all that. Hey, it may not take all that for you, but for me it does. That's how I praise God. You don't have to praise God like me, but that's how I praise God. And I know that there's power in my praise. Let me show you. Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. Many of you know the story, but I'm going to show you the power of our praise. It says, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have already delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, somebody say 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. This is my favorite part of this story. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then, everybody say then the wall of the city will collapse and come down. You're like, how is it the power of praise? Let me show you. What they did first in those first 6 days, all they did was obey God. They just walked around the city, did what they're supposed to do. And then the biggest part of their obedience was when God said, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. And I like to add, give a loud shout of praise. And so I'm here to tell you what they did. All they did was celebrate and give God praise even before it had happened. Those horns, those rams begin to go and they just begin to say, yes! Woo! Shouting out and screaming. And other people may have thought they're crazy, but what was happening when they did that? That situation, that thing, that city, that promise that God was trying to give them, because they were obedient and gave God a loud shout of praise, that wall came down. I'm here to tell y'all today, I don't care what situation that you came in here with. No suicidal thoughts, no depression, no fear, no cancer, anything that you came in with. If you lift up a shout of praise to the King of Kings, that wall, that thing that is holding you down must come down. Somebody give God a loud shout of praise in here. No, come on, give him a shout. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. And some of y'all didn't do that. And that's fine. But you're still going to be walking in the same situation that you were when you came in here. Listen, if they did not scream or shout like they were supposed to, that wall wasn't coming down. And sometimes, Pastor Gene alluded to it earlier, you know, we want to be so comfortable when we come into church, or we want to be so comfortable when we come into the presence of God. But I don't know about you. I've read through all the Old Testament, and all those leaders, they had to be uncomfortable for God at one point or another. I'll keep moving on. I know y'all don't like me talking about that. But we have power in our praise. The best part about that, Pastor Justin alluded to this earlier. The best part about that was that they praised God before it happened. Before it happened, not after. Anybody can praise God after you get a new car, after you get a new house, after you get a promotion at work, after all these great things happen. Anybody can come into church and be like, yeah, woo! But it takes a true believer that comes in with some mess and comes in with some stuff that they're holding on to and that they're struggling with to be like, you know what, God? I'm not very good in this area right now, but I shall lift up my hands anyway. I will give you praise. I will give you glory. I will give you worship, because there is power in our praise. And I'm closing with this. Ted, you can come on and come. We have power when we fight. Have power when we fight. Now, I'm not talking about fighting against your spouse. I'm not talking about fighting against your mom and dad. I'm not talking about fighting with your brothers and sisters or whoever it may be. I'm not talking about that. The scripture, Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the unseen world." But the problem with this topic here is that some of us have lost our fight. We've lost the fight in us. Have y'all ever heard, you know, a coach or a teacher, somebody say, you know, you're just not fighting anymore. I played basketball for 21, 22 years. And I was blessed to play on some very, very good teams for the most part. But then there was a couple of teams that I played on that was terrible. They were horrible. And so because of that, we walked in the gym. And as soon as we walked in the gym, we looked at our opponent and we were already defeated. We looked and we said, man, they're taller than us. They're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. So there's no reason for us to fight this. There's no reason for us to even play. There's no reason for us to even go up against this. And that's some of us today. Some of us are dealing with depression and nobody knows about it. And the doctor has told you, oh, this is genetic. So here, take these pills and this will help you get through your life. And so then you're like, yeah, that's what my life's supposed to be. So I'm not going to fight it. Or some of us have diseases or sicknesses and we're like, well, you know, I'm up in age anyway, so I'm just going to, you know, deal with the pain and go for it. So I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to fight it. Or some of us are sitting in the presence of God and we're dealing with suicidal thoughts. And we're like, you know what? That's just who I am. I didn't have a mom. I didn't have a dad. I didn't have these things to help me, you know, go further in life. So I'm going to struggle with this for the rest of my life. I'm just going to struggle with it. Some of us are dealing with lustful thoughts. I'm like, hey, I had a dad who loved women. So because of that, it's just rubbed off on me. And I look there. And we have not learned to stand up and fight. So what happens? I'm going to give you a little illustration here. What happens? I'm going to turn my back to you. This is not in disrespect. I just want to show you something. But we come into the presence of God and we're dealing with all these different things. We've got stress, worry, depression. We've got sicknesses, diseases. all these different things. And now we start talking to ourselves and saying, yeah, you know what? I don't know the word well enough. How am I going to get through this? Or I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to fast. I don't know how to approach this stress or this doubt or this thing that's just burdening me. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. No, nobody loves me. I'm never going to really find a good man. I'm never really going to find a good woman. Look at what's happening when I begin to talk to myself like this. I'm putting myself down. Nobody else has done this but me. And so we've lost our fight. We're looking down at the other end of the gym. We're like, man, I don't know the word like Pastor Gene. I can't sing like Pastor Mel. So I don't know how I'm supposed to get out of this. And the devil is like a shark. Once you begin to speak like that, he smells blood and he begins to come at you and he begins to say, yeah, you're right. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. Nobody is going to love you. You can't sing. You can't pray. You don't know the scripture. How are you going to fight me? You don't know anything. How are you going to do this? And then you stop. And you came to church this Sunday and Pastor TJ told you that you have power. And you begin to realize that. And then you begin to realize that a couple weeks ago, Pastor Gene said, the devil can only lie. So if he can only lie, what he's telling you must be the truth. So now you're starting to say, wait a minute. I am beautiful. Somebody will love me. I mean, I may not know the whole word, but I just learned one scripture. Now I've learned two. Now I learned three. I know I don't have to be in worship to lift up God's name. I can just live right, and that's worship. And now, look at this. Now you're standing. And you still may not be strong enough yet. You still may not be strong enough yet, but tone it down just a little bit, man. So, now you're looking, and now the enemy has realized that you realize that you have power. So now you're looking at that depression. Now you're looking at those suicidal thoughts. Now you're looking at those lustful thoughts, those things, those pains that are hurting you. And now the enemy is realizing that you can speak to that thing and say, depression, you cannot hold me. Suicidal thoughts, you cannot hold me. This sickness, you cannot hold me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise. Come on, lift it up. Praise Him. Come on, shout out to Him in His praise. Come on, here we go. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on.
There is power.
If you want that power, I just want you to join me down here at the altar. Come on, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Close your eyes and lift up your hands in this place right here. Come on, just begin to talk to him in your own way just for a minute. Forget who's standing next to you. Forget who's around you. Forget who can hear you. Just begin to lift it up to him. Come on, this is your Jericho. Your wall will come down when you begin to open up your mouth and give God a shout. Father, I thank you for these precious people that are in this place, Lord. I thank you for the people, God, who came in dragging, came in here with no power and nothing, God. But I pray, Lord, that they will begin to be charged up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and that we will stay
plugged into your presence. We will stay plugged into who you are. We will stay plugged into your goodness and your mercy, Father. Listen, I got to do this real quick, and we're going to go home. Pastor Gene has been really flowing in the spirit of healing. And I feel like that is a big burden that a lot of us carry. We've got all different types of sickness and illness and diseases. And sometimes we just need to admit it to God and say, God, I am struggling. I am hurting. I am broken. I need you to heal my body. And when there's two or three, and I think we got about 200 or 300 people in this place, they're going to gather together and God is going to show up in this place. So if you've got any type of sickness, pain, disease, ailment, I just want you to lift up your hands right now. Come on, don't be ashamed of it. Yes. Yes, God. Now, if you're standing next to somebody that has their hand raised, I want you to put your hand on their shoulder. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that your people shall be healed. We declare that your people shall be set free, God. You have not called us to walk around with infirmity. You have not called us to walk around with sickness. You have not called us to walk around with disease, God, but you've called us to walk in a wholeness and a health and a fullness of you, God. And I specifically pray for physical healing to take place in this church right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I declare that every back issue, every spine be aligned, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every hip issue, God, be lined up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. Every heart issue, every heart palpitation, God. God, become regular, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. And I pray for any sickness or disease like cancer, God. We know that you are bigger than anything, God. In the name of Jesus, we declare that your people shall be healed, shall be set free, shall be delivered, because we're asking this in Jesus' name. Somebody give God a shout of praise. No, come on. Act like your healing just happened. Come on. Let's shout. Let's give a praise. I hear the chain falling.
I hear the chain falling. Oh, Lord, I hear the chain falling.
How many this week said, Pastor, I want to learn what it means to stay tapped into the power source? Isn't that so true? Come on now. We wonder why we're dragging, but we stay disconnected. We got to make it our prayer this week. So you know I'm about life application. So when we leave here today, what is our goal this week? To say, Father, every day I want to do what it takes in my life to stay connected to the power source. I want to do what it takes to stay connected. Whether that's prayer, as Pastor TJ talked about, whether that's an intimate time of worship, quiet time in the Word, maybe a loud time where you just kind of let it go. You're in your car, you just let the devil have it, man. Or you're at home and the kids aren't around, you just say, you know what, we're just going to have it out. Or a time of praise, or whatever it is, you got to find that time and stay connected so that I can operate in the power of the Holy Spirit in my life every single day. That's the awesome thing, is we don't have to just get recharged on Sunday. Can you imagine if we came in with our batteries almost full on Sunday? What kind of services we'd be experience? But the problem is we wait for the service to kind of charge us up, and we walk out full. But what happened if we walked in full? Woo! Can you imagine the kind of power to be flowing out of this house? The kind of healings we would see take place. The faith level rising in this place. Let's make it our prayer. How many say, I'm going to make it my personal prayer, Pastor. I'm going to stay plugged in. Pastor TJ, such an awesome word. Now, I told the first service this. When I preached my first sermon in front of a main congregation about the same age as he did today. And I was so nervous, I couldn't sleep all weekend. Not a wink. I got up to preach that morning, and the whole room turned white. I couldn't see a thing. I thought I was going to pass out. I don't have any idea what I said. I couldn't read my notes. I talked for about 12 minutes tops, and all of a sudden, the room came back into focus, and when it did, I said, amen, right there, I don't know. I gave an altar call. I think I had one drunk stumble to the front and got saved. I don't know. God's grace was there. And so today, I am so proud of Pastor TJ. What an awesome, awesome word. Some of you today say, well, I see God's hand upon his life and Pastor Courtney at a young age. Pastor, what is it? I'll just simply tell you what it is. They're not perfect. They make a lot of mistakes. As their leader, I can tell you, he's a Williams daddy. He makes a lot of mistakes sometimes. But you know what the difference is? I talked about it last week. He's teachable. They're teachable. They have a teachable spirit. And when I sit down with him and say, we need to work on something, we need to change something, where he comes to me, he takes the correction with a humble spirit. That's why God is exalting him at a young age, because he's allowing himself to be teachable. Take that nugget into your heart and say, God, I want to learn to be teachable. We talked about it last week. I am so, so proud of him today. Did you guys enjoy the ministry? One more time, give him a hand clap. Wow. It's exciting to see all the young pastors that God's bringing up here at Destiny. We're planting churches, and then Pastor Justin stepping up, growing. Pastor TJ stepping up, sharing as well. How many know the future is bright? God is pouring in some men to us and women who can speak to our lives. We're excited about it. Listen, I am so excited today that you were here. Thank you so much for being here. Turn around and give someone a big hug or a high five and say, man, it was great to be with you in service today. God bless you so much. Thank you for being here.